And it's also from papers on type 2 spicules by Bart DuPontu et al. It's about X-ray jets and what they imply about type 2 spicules and coronal heating. The main points are, first, that the Hinode X-ray movies show that there are two kinds of X-ray jets, standard jets and blowout jets. The X-ray movies and the helium 2304 movies from AIA both show that standard jets don't expand sideways because they're made by interchange reconnection, and blowout jets do expand sideways because they're made by blowout filament eruptions. The SDO, the AI, the 304 movies also show that both kinds spin and sway. Next, the type 2 spicules are chromospheric jets that are much smaller and vastly more numerous than X-ray jets, but they expand, they have a sideways expansion dichotomy like X-ray jets, and they spin and sway like X-ray jets. From that, we argue that type 2 spicules erupt from granule-sized bipoles and carry enough energy to heat the corona and to, for coronal heating and the power of the solar wind. Okay, that was the introduction. Next comes some observations of X-ray jets and then their implications for type 2 spicules and coronal heating. First, here's what we think we see in X-ray jets. In both kinds, there's this closed bipole embedded in unipolar open field like this. So there's this current sheet here on the outside, and the jet starts there with a burst of reconnection. In a standard jet, not much happens on the inside of the bipole because it doesn't have enough twist to blow open. The reconnection on the outside makes this reconnection bright point below it and drives the jet outflow above it, and it makes the jet spin and sway by transferring twist from the closed field to the open field. In blowout jets, the closed bipole does have enough twist to blow open. Again, the external reconnection transfers a twist from the inside to the outside to the open field, making the spire of the jet spin and sway, and it also helps unleash the blowout. But the blowout is also unleashed by this internal reconnection, which heats the interior of the jet, the interior of the base of the jet. The blowout makes the jet complex and makes it expand sideways. Okay, now for some observations. There is an example of a standard jet observed in Hinode X-ray movies in the north polar coronal hole. It's faint against the background corona, but we can see that it has the inverted Y shape with a bright point at 1 foot. Here's that same jet observed in the AIA 304 movie. Again, we can see the inverted Y shape and the bright point at 1 foot. As the jet shoots out, it waves around a little bit, but it doesn't get wider. No sideways expansion. Here's a closer look at the spinning and swaying. Here's the jet, a closer look at during part of that sequence. This strand on the right here, pointed to by the arrow, rotates counterclockwise from right to left around the back of the jet. Here's an example of a blowout X-ray jet observed by Hinode in the south polar coronal hole. Again, it's very faint against the background corona, but we can see that it starts out as this simple single spike inverted Y, and then it becomes a broad curtain as the base brightening spreads, becomes more widespread. Here it is in the 304 movie. Again, we see that it starts out as with this single spike inverted Y shape. Then there's this blowout eruption of the base, and the jet becomes this complex curtain spray that expands sideways as it shoots out. Here's the closer look at the spinning and swaying. This one, in this one, the strand on the right-hand side rotates counterclockwise as the strand rotates around the front of the jet. Okay, now we come to type 2 spicules. Our idea for type 2 spicules comes from these three features of X-ray jets. Type 2 spicules spin and sway like X-ray jets. They have dichotomy of sideways expansion like X-ray jets. So we assume that they are also like X-ray jets in this first way. We assume that they erupt from tiny bipoles the same way that X-ray jets erupt from larger bipoles. Here's two snapshots of type 2 spicules from a Hinode calcium 2 movie in a northern polar coronal hole. There are two kinds. One kind have single strands like this and don't expand sideways, and the other kind are multi-stranded like this and do expand sideways. Spectra show that both kinds spin like X-ray jets, and the calcium 2 movies show that both kinds sway side to side like X-ray jets. Now, if these little jets erupt from bipoles, the bipoles have to be very small. The scale here is in arc seconds. The bipole has to be only one or two arc seconds across, the size of a granule. And there have to be enough of them, one for every type 2 spicule. And Hinode has shown that there are enough of them. Here they are. Here we have the line of sight component and the transverse component of a Hinode vector magnetogram of a quiet region, 40 arc seconds across, about the size of a supergranule. The line of sight component shows the network flux, and over here, each little dark point is the transverse field in a granule size emerging bipole. In this area the size of a supergranule, there are about 100 of them, and they loosely cluster around the network flux. So here's the picture. Each granule-sized bipole that comes up in the feet of the coronal field rooted in the network makes a type 2 spicule. Depending on how much twist the bipole has, it makes either a standard jet type 2 spicule or a blowout jet type 2 spicule. Now, from this picture and the observed number of granule-sized emerging bipoles and the observed outflow speeds, magnetic field strength, and the waving and twisting motions in type 2 spicules, we estimate that the outward flow, the total energy, global average area over the area, energy flux, carried by the outflow and the alphanic waves in type 2 spicules is of order 10 to the 6th ergs per centimeter squared per second. That's enough to power the corona and solar wind. So if type 2 spicules are tiny counterparts of X-ray jets, then there's plausibly enough of them to power the quiet corona and solar wind. Thank you.
Regarding the energy flux estimates, you haven't accounted for the fact that the vast majority of the spicule mass, and therefore the spicule energy, falls right back down to the surface. I mean, the wave energy continues outward and can heat the corona, but the mass won't do it. And you're very close to the borderline of what's needed, even with your estimate for explaining the energy requirements in quiet regions and coronal holes, but of course you're way short in active regions.
Well, I don't know. Bart and Scott have argued that maybe that's important even in active regions. I don't know about that. This story here is for quiet regions and coronal holes. And it's true. The observed upflow, I've taken 100 kilometers per second as the order of magnitude estimate. They're not observed to fall back. They go up and they disappear.
False.
Some, and we know that there's downflow in the network. You looked at the redshifted network in H-alpha. It's more filled in rosette than in the blue wing. So yes, a lot of the mass has to come. There's way more mass in these things than we need for the solar wind. It has to come back down. But there's enough energy in this carried by the type 2 spicules, if there are this many of them, to do the job.
There may be enough if all the energy and all the mass goes up and none of it comes back down. But we know the majority of it comes back down. It's observed.
It doesn't have upward energy flow in it when it comes back down. It goes up.
And the energy comes back down with the
you're,
flow.
You're assuming
the wave
that
energy. Wave energy is
you're
fine.
Assuming that it's just all just it goes into potential energy, comes back down. Well, that we don't know that. It's a possibility for dissipating some of that.
Another debate like we had in Petaluma on flares.
Yeah, Spiro.
I mean, clearly the energy in the mass goes up and down, but there are the waves that will carry the energy away. That keeps going up. Now, your so-called breakout jets are like little mini, your blowout jets are like mini breakout CMEs.
Yeah, that's right.
So why is it that, but on the other hand, do you expect that these things will have little filament channels in them and stuff?
I mean, yeah. Or is it? They have a little filament that
you actually see them?
Yeah, I showed you the one. That's what it looks like to me. There's that one. This looks like a little filament eruption to me. This thing here, it's like a loop. It looks like a tiny filament eruption that...
I thought this was a slide from some kind of medical show. I don't know what that is.
What?
No, it's hard for me to see in this one, Ron. But if you see a filament there, fine.
You see this closed loop thing here that apparently... has interchange reconnection, and it gets opened up, and then after a while, it becomes all open. It makes sense. We have this closed field, in a filament, erupting out, and it interacts with the open field in the expected interchange reconnection way.
I see. Okay, so the real difference in that case is that some of these closed bipoles do not have a filament, and so they'll only do the interchange reconnection.
They don't erupt open. You just have the
interchange
reconnection, and that's all that happens.
But the ones that do have a very low-lying filament, then, of course, they can do the internal reconnection, the flare reconnection, to give you more
That's
energy.
Right. In the standard jets, you don't see any brightening or very subdued brightening in the body of the bipole. It's only you only get the big, the very outstanding bright point on the outside edge, and the jet goes out.